Due to the graphic nature of this program, viewer discretion is advised.
Are under arrest.
Be stopping his vehicle. He failed to stop at the stop sign.
We don't know how many of them there are. We know when we find them, we can kill them.
Hey, don't you smile at me, boy. I'll get you out here, I'll spread your cheeks.
Cops is filmed on location with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are guilty in a court of law.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
He's dead.
You have the right to an attorney.
You're reading Miranda to a corpse.
I'm having trouble.
Policeman coming with his pistol. Policeman coming with his gun. Policeman coming with his pistol. Policeman's always on the run. Police, police, don't hear me please. Police, police, don't hear me please.
And you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. That was Randy with a man in uniform. And with me in the studio here is Katya Komisarek, who is a local criminal defense attorney and author of the book called Beat the Heat, How to Handle Encounters with Law Enforcement. How you doing today, Katya?
Great. How about you?
We're doing all right here. And I want to thank you for taking the time to come in the studio and... you know, let folks know, get us all informed on exactly what to do when a police, you know, not just the police, but law enforcement, right? Including like FBI and grand juries. You have a
Homeland Security.
Homeland Security nowadays.
Folks. Yeah.
Definitely. And First, I'd like to first go through and like when a police officer, just the basic thing, like if you're on the street and a police officer would come up to you and ask to talk to you, what would the person's response, what would be the best response for someone to do to stay safe in that time?
Well, the best response is to walk away, to simply leave. Frequently, the police are fishing.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking and hoping that somebody will get into a conversation with them and then make incriminating remarks, say things that can be used against them. So the best thing to do is to have no conversation with the cops at all, mm-hmm. even friendly conversation. So if you see a police officer coming looking like they're about to come talk to you, I would turn around and walk slowly away. Mm-hmm. You don't want to run or scuttle because that's suspicious behavior and that would actually give the police the right to stop you. By the same token, when you're trying to walk away from a police encounter, don't throw things away because the police may imagine that you're trying to get rid of contraband.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you know, your empty lunch bag that you're planning to throw away at some point, keep it in your backpack or your pocket until you're out of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then we should talk about what happens if the police stand right in front of you and it's too easy to simply walk away and avoid it in the first place.
Yeah, when they actually contact you, like if I was an officer and I were to come up to you and say, you know, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. Could you please come to me? I'd like to talk to you for a moment. What would be the response?
Well, I would say, no, thank you, and walk away. Again, the police frequently rely on their badge, their gun, their authority mm-hmm. to trap people into conversation. And just like sometimes at a party, some drunk guy comes up and tries to trap you into conversation, sometimes you have to be firm about exiting. So you say, no, thank you, and walk away. Now, if the police actually have enough evidence to detain or arrest you, they'll tell you, stay right here. Don't move. Mm-hmm. They'll grab you. But you have nothing to lose by saying no, thank you, and trying to walk away. It's a little bit trickier if the police kind of plant themselves right in front of you. You know, you're mm-hmm. sitting there eating, drinking, and a cop comes and stands 8 inches in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting out of the way is a little bit tricky because you actually have to sort of slither sideways, you know, because they're kind of blocking your way. But mm-hmm. that's okay to do. You don't want to touch the cop, much less, no, don't even put your hand on them at all, because that's, they consider that highly aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And especially they're full of donuts and coffee. We don't want to agitate them.
Not a bit.
So if a cop says, look, I want to talk to you about this certain incident where there's something going on here. You're detained. You're now being detained.
Okay. So now we know that you're not free to go.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you have to say the magic words. And the magic words are, I'm going to remain silent. I would like to see a lawyer.
I'm going to remain silent. I would like to see a lawyer.
Right.
Why would you say that?
Well, that actually brings into play two really critical amendments, laws, from the Constitution itself. You know that the Constitution is the most powerful set of laws. The Constitution trumps any kind of state or federal law normally. And of the Constitution, the part that is most useful to us in general is the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. Of the first 10 amendments, what we want to rely on in this police encounter is the Fifth and Sixth Amendment. You've heard people say, I take the Fifth.
Mm-hmm.
That relates to your right to remain silent. Well, actually, in addition to your right to remain silent, there's several other rights mixed in here that you want to bring into bear as well. You have your right to remain silent. You have your right to have an attorney present while you're being questioned. And, of course, the whole job of the attorney, if you're being questioned, is to say, no, I object, don't answer that. And that's really cool because that takes the heat off of you. It's hard enough to say, and you must say, I'm not going to answer questions, but it's uncomfortable. But if you have your attorney there, the attorney is forbidding you to answer questions. So it's not your fault that you have to be uncooperative.
Mm-hmm.
You're just following your attorney's instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, I want to see an attorney, what you're really saying is, I want my attorney here to protect me from your questioning. So when you say, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see an attorney, you're invoking your rights from both the Fifth and the Sixth Amendment. That's why it's better than just saying, I take the Fifth, because you're getting two amendments with three different rights
mm-hmm.
all into play at once. It's also kind of nice because it doesn't sound too stuffy. You've heard people say on TV, you know, I take the fifth. And there's a certain amount of attitude that people say that with, and mm-hmm. it bugs people. I mean, mm-hmm. it certainly bugs the police. They don't, like, want to be lawyers. Mm-hmm. So if you just say, nice and simply, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer, that shows that you know your rights. It carries out all the legal work that you need to do without pushing any buttons.
So then the officer would probably respond with something like, well, what's your problem? We're just trying to clarify what happened here. And since you say you haven't done anything wrong, what do you have to be afraid of to talk to me?
Well, that's a trap, as you know. It stands to reason that anything you say can be twisted and misquoted and used against you, mm-hmm. Or simply held up against something somebody else says. And any time there's a conflict, you say, you know, I've been here since 4 p.m. and everything's been quiet. And somebody else says, I've been here since 3:55 and everything's been quiet. You know, you get multiple people's versions. Mm-hmm. And because people see and hear things differently, they notice different details, you'll see some conflicts. The police or the prosecutor can work with those conflicts, use them to try to show that somebody's lying or somebody's mistaken. You have no idea how even the simplest statements can be used against you or some friend or some other hapless person on the street. So the best thing is to say nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you make that legal and safe is by saying, I'm going to remain silent. I would like to see a lawyer. I'm just going to keep repeating this for our whole interview.
Over and over again.
Well, that way everybody will have it memorized without having to do any work.
Including the officer.
Yeah.
And it's okay. We're reading from your book, A Beat the Heat. And there's a whole exchange here on what to do in these type of situations. And the next one would be the officer threatening you to, you know, I'm going to go back to the station and write my report. And that's what the DA is going to use to decide who to prosecute and what are the charges right now. All I have for my report is how the other guy said it happened. Of course, you don't have to talk to me, but as far as my report's concerned, this is your last chance to tell me your side of the story.
And that's baloney.
Uh-huh.
It's not your last chance to tell your side of the story, and in fact, it's the worst time to tell your side of the story. You want to tell your side of the story when you've got the right people listening to you. That's the judge and the jury, not the cop. The cop's out there to arrest somebody. You, if you fit the bill.
Mm-hmm.
If you give the cop enough to work with, then he can arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
So telling your side of the story to the police, you're telling it to the people who are against you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell your side of the story in court. And you want to tell it with an attorney who's there to help you tell it in the best possible words and in the best order and using the facts that'll be most advantageous to you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to And again, you want to tell your story where you have witnesses on your side. If you tell your story to the cops and they write it down wrong, and they often do,
yes,
or they misquote you, how can you ever prove that you said what you said? In fact, I had a client, a younger person, a minor, who was accused of writing graffiti. And the cops came up to him on the street and they dragged him over to this wall that was full of graffiti. And they said, did you write that? And my client said, no, I did not. And you know what the officer wrote in his report? He wrote, I asked the suspect, did he write this? And he said, yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way to prove what had really happened and what my client really said. And what's worse, since it was a juvenile case, we didn't even have a jury. We just had a juvenile court judge. So mm-hmm. there's only one person deciding who was telling the truth. And the judge decided that the officer was telling the truth and not my client.
Some of the other interesting little comments that they may use is they may want to use your kids if you have kids with you, threatening to call CPS to get your kids taken away, that kind of thing. But do you then ask if I'm being charged with a crime? You know, where does that come in? Do you just continue to be silent?
Well, this is a multi-tentacled mm-hmm. question.
Okay.
In the first place, if you are being arrested, you should absolutely say the magic words, mm-hmm. I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer. If the police are threatening to take your kids, unless you agree to a search or confess, your best bet is to still say just the magic words and not consent to searches, and it's going to be heart-wrenching in the moment. I mean, they may very well take your kids away, at least at that time, but at least you have a chance of fighting and winning the case. if you go and cave at that point, you may end up going to prison and then you won't see your kids for a long time. It's better to lose your kids for a little bit and still be able to win your case than to give up everything and have no chance at all. Any criminal defense lawyer will tell you that the reason so many cases are hard to win or impossible to win is because of what you say at the moment of arrest, before you've got a lawyer there present. Your job is to hold the line, to do a kind of legal first aid, just as in a first aid situation where there's been an accident, your job is to stop the bleeding until the ambulance comes. So in an arrest situation, your job is to stop the talking until the lawyer comes.
And in your experience, have you noticed when people do this, invoke their rights and don't say anything, obviously, you know, everything you say can and will be used against you, whether they read you your Miranda rights or not, correct?
Yeah, we don't even worry about the Miranda rights, because by the time the police tell you, remind you about the rights, they say you have the right to remain silent, anything you say can be used against you, you have the right to an attorney, if you can't afford one, one will be appointed to you by the court. Usually they don't bother to say that until people have already said lots of wrong things. And they're not, the police aren't legally obliged to read you your rights until after they've arrested you and they want to question you. But a lot of police questioning happens before the arrest. So you have to say the magic words, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer, at the very outset. Because if you wait for the police to give you a cue to prompt you to invoke your rights, well, it's probably too late by then. Now, the police may make fun of you. I mean, they may say, you know, you've been watching too much TV, you've been listening to too much free radio, you know, you're not under arrest, you don't have the right to remain silent. Well, that's garbage. The best defense is a good offense. So the moment you discover that you're not free to go, the police say you can't leave, or they grab you or they handcuff you, that's when you have to start saying, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer.
So they decide to arrest you, and they put you in a car. You still have your, what you put in here is a, I can't remember what page it was, it's like a safety condom, putting yourself the, I'm going to remain silent, I want to see a lawyer. So you've been arrested and you're taken downtown and you're charged for whatever crime. What do you do then? Do you start talking to them then?
Absolutely not. You keep saying, I'm going to remain silent, I'd like to see a lawyer. Now, technically, you should only have to say it once, to the first officer you encounter, and then he or she's supposed to pass that on to the subsequent officers. But of course, it doesn't necessarily work that way. So you need to stay on the ball and keep on saying, for to the first officer who arrests you, you say, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer. When you get downtown and they're booking you, you know, they're taking your fingerprints and your photograph and they try to ask you some more questions, you say it again, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer. And keep on saying that all the way through. And the other trick to this is, after you've said, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer, after that you can't say anything else. You can't say, do I get a phone call? You can't say, I have to go to the bathroom. You can't say, you know,
talk about the weather or sports.
These handcuffs are too tight. Yeah, and you can't make small talk. You can't talk about the weather, sports, or movies, because that neutralizes your rights. When you say, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer, and then you break the silence, you've just canceled the invocation of rights. You've undone what you did. It's like a light switch. When you say, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer, you've turned on the power of the Constitution, and then when you say anything else after that, you've turned it back off again. Now, admittedly, you can then turn your rights back on by saying it again. I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer. But you don't want to be turning your rights on and off and on and off. It's confusing for you and for the police. And any little slippage you make in the middle of this is going to hurt. So my advice is, unless you're having a medical emergency, you don't ever break the silence. And if you do have to say something like, you know, I'm passing out, or, you know, I can't feel my hands anymore, would you loosen the cuffs? After you've done that, then you have to close the gap. By saying, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer, and seal off the breach that you've made.
Again, we're talking to Katya Komisarek, the author of Beat the Heat, and also she runs a website called
www.lawcollective.org.
That's right.
Law it's one long word, lawcollective.org, lawcollective.org.
And there's a lot of information there on what to do when just what we're talking about right here.
We should, one other thing we should touch on is what to do, how much information, if any, to give in terms of name and address, because people ask me that a lot. in addition to saying, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer, what if the cops say, okay, well, we're prepared to let you go, but we need to see some ID or we need to get your name and address? If the cops are actually going to let you go, then it would make sense to give them a name and address, mm-hmm. if you have an address. It doesn't make sense to give them anything more than that, because if you start saying, you know, this is my workplace, this is my social security number, this is my great aunt Sylvia's phone number, it's endless. Mm-hmm. It's what you call a slippery slope. You start answering these simple, background questions, and then somehow seamlessly you find yourself talking about bad stuff, the incident, mm-hmm. whatever it is they're trying to arrest you for. So you have to make up in your mind in advance exactly how much information you're going to give, name and address, say it, and then say the magic words, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer. So, for example, if the police stopped me, I would say, my name is Katya Komisarek, my address is whatever it is, and I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer. It's kind of like, you know how soldiers are trained to give name, rank, and serial number and then mm-hmm. shut up?
Yeah.
You have to be doing pretty much the same thing, because mm-hmm. you're in enemy hands in this situation. Mm-hmm. You have to, the only person who's going to protect you and your rights is you. And you have to practice.
What about minors? Minors have the same rights?
Good question. And they do. This is what's so cool. Minors have exactly the same right as adults to remain silent, to refuse to consent to searches, and to have an attorney, a free attorney. Mm-hmm. I mean, most minors can't afford one. So the court will appoint a minor, the court will appoint an attorney mm-hmm. For you, regardless. And sometimes the police or parents or teachers or school administrators say you're just a kid, you don't have any rights, and that's garbage too. The Constitution protects people under 18 exactly the same as it protects adults, and it protects non-U.S. citizens. So if you are here and you're undocumented or you're here on a visa and the police want to question you, you have exactly the same right to have a lawyer and remain silent, and you should say, everybody gets to say the magic words. Kids, mm-hmm. adults, and non-U.S. citizens should all be saying, I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer, mm-hmm. and then shut up.
What about once you're arrested and they would like, say you're arrested with a group of folks, mm-hmm. maybe activists who've done whatever, mm-hmm. and they would like to talk to each one, and don't they play this good cop, bad cop, try to get different information out of you? Can cops lie to you also? That's another.
Yes, Virginia. The police can lie to you, and it's completely legal. So, for example, the police may split up this group of people that they've arrested, according to your scenario, and then they'll go from one to the next and say, your friend Bill over here told us everything that happened. In fact, he said it was all your idea and that this was he was just along for the ride. That's not really what happened, is it? Let's hear your side of the story. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, I can't believe it. That bad person, how could he have said that? Well, it was his idea, in fact. Mm-hmm. And they play people off against each other. Mm-hmm. And they'll, when they talk to them, they'll like maybe pick up little bits of information and little true bits, like the fact that you had dinner downtown last night. And then they'll weave that in and say, so Bill was telling me that last night while you were having dinner downtown, you came up with this harebrained scheme to come and do such and such. And you're like, wow, I did have dinner with Bill last night. Whoa, he must have said all this stuff. But it can be completely untrue. In fact, sometimes the police claim that they found your fingerprints at the crime scene. Mm-hmm. And that can be a lie. They'll say, your friends all talked to us and we let them all out. They're all gone home. You're the only one left. Now, it makes sense for you to just tell us your side of the story and then we can let you go. A lie. Mm-hmm. Your friends are all rotting in jail meanwhile. Mm-hmm. You have no way, and you have no way to tell. The only way you can verify what's really happened is to wait till everybody's either out of jail or wait till people have got attorneys in place and they can communicate with each other through attorneys.
So when you're in jail, and I guess after all this, mm-hmm. especially if you're activists, you should probably get together and review all this, what you're going to do. But there's something, they want to release you from jail, and mm-hmm. they want you to sign different things.
Ah, they want you to sign all kinds of things, yes. when you're in custody. And every single one of those things is bad except for one certain document, and that's called a citation. Mm-hmm. A citation is a promise to appear. So when you're being released from custody, whether it's on the street or at the jail, if you sign the citation, it says, I promise to appear at the date and time indicated. That's safe to sign. Everything else is bad. Now, here in California, you know that you're signing a proper citation or promise to appear because it will actually say right over the signature line in little letters, it will say, by signing this, I am not admitting guilt.
Mm-hmm.
So unless over the signature line it says, by signing this, I'm not admitting guilt, you cannot sign it. Let me tell you some of the other things they try to sucker you into signing. They'll try to get you to sign a statement. And of course, substitute confession for statement. Any statement is going to be used against you. You don't want to make or sign a statement. Another thing you don't want to sign is a waiver of rights. Waiver means to give up, as in waive bye-bye. So the cops will give you something with the Miranda rights on it. You know, you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. And the cops may say, we need you to sign this to indicate that you understand your rights. Or we need you to sign this to show that we read you your rights. Well, you don't sign it because anytime you have your rights printed on a piece of paper, it's normally to get you to give them up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be boxes to check saying, I give up this right or I don't give up this right. Don't even check anything. Just keep your hands off any piece of paper that doesn't say, by signing this, I'm not admitting guilt.
I believe you have examples in your book, too.
On the website. Oh, one other thing that's really tricky is property receipts. Mm. So you get arrested and the police take everything you've got, your skateboard and your bike and your backpack. And they say, we've written this all down here and we want you to sign this. And you have to sign here because you won't get your property back unless you sign this. Well, that's garbage, too. They can't take it without, they're making all these records when they do take it, right? And they're putting your arrest number and your name and stuff on these documents. So it's not like your stuff is going to get lost in the system. Well, unless the police do that on purpose, which you can't do anything about anyway. But the main thing is when the police confiscate your stuff, your lawyer can get it back for you, can do a motion for return of property. And often you can't get your property back until the case is completely over. Mm-hmm. So don't count on seeing your skateboard again anytime soon. But it does all come back, and you don't need to sign this property receipt. And can you guess why you shouldn't sign a property receipt?
Because it might implicate you in a crime, possibly?
It might. Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is that they may have confiscated stuff that was in your property that turns out to be illegal.
Mm.
Cannabis, for example, mm-hmm. or some knife, or something that's associated with some other crime that you have no idea about. Or somebody who got arrested alongside you might have slipped something that they were uncomfortable with into your backpack. You don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or there might be something that's not so good that's in your backpack that you forgot about.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sign this property receipt and acknowledge possession of all this stuff, well, then that's as much as admitting that this questionable material belongs to you. You shouldn't make admissions like that.
Mm-hmm.
It may be you didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may be that it can be used against you anyway. But there's no point in giving away the game by signing and saying, oh, yeah, that, baggie was mine.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're arrested for smoking cannabis or something like that.
Oh, speaking of cannabis, sometimes people say, well, I have a doctor's recommendation to smoke cannabis. So what do I do if I get stopped on the street? How do I explain about the doctor's recommendation while I'm busy saying I'm going to remain silent, I would like to see a lawyer, and shutting up? Well, the easiest way to handle that is to say, I have a doctor's recommendation. Can I get it? You don't want to go reaching into your pockets without warning the police officer, because that could be really scary for the police officer. They might think that you're going for a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So before you put your hands in your pockets or your bag, say, I have a doctor's recommendation. Can I get it out? And then the officer will probably say, sure, go ahead. And you take it out and give it to them. And that's that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go into this whole song and dance about your symptoms or, you know, this, that, or the other. You don't chat or make small talk. You say, I have a doctor's recommendation. Can I get it out? And that's the end of the conversation. You get it out, you hand it to them, and then you say what? I'm going to remain silent. I would like to see a lawyer. And that's it. You don't talk.
Yes.
Even though you're totally in the right. Because innocent people go to jail all the time. Mm-hmm. Innocent people have been executed.
Hmm.
And your best safety preservative against that is to not talk, to not give anything away.
All right, we're talking to Katya Komisarek here, author of Beat the Heat, How to Handle Encounters with Law Enforcement. We're going to take a quick musical break here with Asian Dub Foundation and the Police on My Back. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, Operation Ear Infection.
FX. Chuck. FX Show. Nice. Roll it one time, Mr. DJ.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. That's the Asian Dub Foundation with Police on My Back, of course. We're here with Katya Komisarek, local lawyer. What about surveillance and activist groups? What's your view on that? Can cops, like, we've had this thing going on here, this Spygate thing happening in Santa Cruz, what they call Spygate, where they infiltrated the first night or last night group that wanted to do the parade downtown, and two undercover police officers came in. Can they do that? Is that legal to do?
I'm afraid it is.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally, when people are meeting to plan an event, whether it's a legal event or an event that may not be legal, they say at the beginning of the meeting, would all law enforcement agents and journalists please identify themselves? And, of course, normally people don't, except maybe left-wing journalists. And the folks at the meeting think, oh, okay, we're safe. There's no cops here because we checked. Well, unfortunately, that's a delusion. When the police are infiltrating your organization or your meeting, they're not obliged to identify themselves. In fact, you can walk right up to this person in their brand new tie-dyed T-shirt and their white socks and short hair and say, are you a cop? And they can say, no, of course I'm not a cop. And you have no recourse.
Mm-hmm.
The only situation in which activists can be quite sure that they're not being infiltrated is if they're having a meeting with their attorney to consult about legal issues. And the attorney can say, this is a privileged communication between me and my multiple clients here, and no law enforcement allowed. At that point, if an undercover officer remained, the case, if it were later prosecuted, would likely be dismissed. In fact, there was a good example of that at Diablo Canyon. There was where the nuclear reactor protests happened, especially in the late 70s. And there were several different law enforcement agents who infiltrated. And they actually, a couple of them got arrested doing civil disobedience with other activists, with the real activists. Mm-hmm. And then they went to the lawyer meetings. And when that came out in court, the cases against over 300 people were dismissed mm-hmm. because the police had spied. But it was only because the police had spied on the activist and lawyer meetings. So there may be ways for groups to use that as some protection.
Mm-hmm. Tune to Free Radio Santa Cruz, talking to Katya Kormasarek here, and she wrote a book called Beat the Heat, How to Handle Encounters with Law Enforcement, and we just have like 5 more minutes here. I want to put out her website, which is thelawcollective.org, which there's a lot of really, really good information up there. And you yourself did some activism work back in the 80s, right? You were arrested for destroying a Navstar thing. I was wondering if you wanted to talk a little bit about that. I'm not sure exactly what it was.
Sure, briefly. Throughout most of the 80s, I was engaged in various forms of civil disobedience. And the last one, big one, was a plowshares action. There have been close to 100 of those, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this involves destroying part of the first strike nuclear weapons system. So I took out a part of the guidance system for first strike missiles that was at Vandenberg Air Force Base. And I was convicted after a jury trial and sentenced to 5 years in prison. But I applied to law school while I was in prison, and I got into Harvard. And since I graduated in 93, I've been a criminal defense lawyer.
Wow. So you did 5 years for that action?
Not the whole five.
Not the whole five. A few quick questions here toward the end here. A lot of folks are interested in the whole grand juries issue, since there's a lot of activists now, especially like ELF and ALF, activists that have been arrested by federal authorities in that area. And what exactly are grand juries, and what should people do? Should they invoke the same rights? Do they have the same rights?
I think the answer is longer than the time we have. So I will refer people to the website, www.lawcollective.org, and there's stuff on grand juries there. But the short answer is a grand jury is a tool used by prosecutors to bring felony charges against somebody. And at a grand jury hearing, you have a prosecutor, and you have this jury, a bigger than average jury, like 18 people or 23 people.
Mm-hmm.
And the prosecutor puts on evidence, and then the jury votes whether or not to bring charges, and there's no defense lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And so generally the grand jury just kind of eats out of the prosecutor's hand. They work together for, 18 months,
mm-hmm.
and the grand jury generally just rubber stamps whatever the prosecutor wants.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's really dangerous with activist situations is they subpoena. They get court order requiring somebody to come and be a witness in front of a grand jury, and they turn all these people against each other. So they tell Bob, they ask Bob questions about Kathy, Susie, and Jim,
mm-hmm.
and then they ask Kathy questions about Bob, Susie, and Jim, and then they ask Susie questions about Bob, Kathy, and Jim, and then they ask Jim questions about Bob, Susie, and Kathy. And it's like a circular firing squad. Everybody gives testimony that incriminates everybody else. And it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And your right to remain silent, you can use your right to remain silent in front of a grand jury, but they can impose immunity on you and say, if you don't testify, we're giving you immunity, so if you don't testify, we'll lock you up. I'm having to telescope this drastically, mm-hmm. but the bottom line is, you don't talk to grand juries. It hurts. It'll hurt you, possibly. It'll certainly hurt other people. And I explain that at much greater length on the website.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't good ways to give grand juries limited information and appear to cooperate. And if you talk to a grand jury at all, you're going to do damage. So you need to think really seriously about what your options are in terms of not testifying to a grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
It's really damaging to political movements in general, and even to non-political situations.
Well, we've been talking to Katya Komisarek. We're basically out of time right now. She wrote the book, How to Handle Police Encounters, Beat the Heat, How to Handle Police Encounters with Law Enforcement, and I believe you can get it through AK Press.
That's right. And their website is www.akpress.org, and you can get it through my website, too.
That's thelawcollective.org, www.thelawcollective, or no, it's lawcollective.org.
Mm-hmm.
And Katya is a local criminal defense attorney. If you want to call her, 831-427-1774. That's 427-1774. And I just thanks a lot for taking the time. Maybe we could do this again and try to get more, into what's going on and take more calls.
Well, maybe we could do one just on grand juries because it's such
a big
subject. And there's a lot of really important work to be done there.
We
didn't talk about searches at all, and that's a whole nother hour's worth conversation.
It is. So we should do this again very soon.
Very cool.
All right. Well, thank you for spending the time with us.
It's as if we're the prisoners and the criminals roam free.
Some dumb cop's gun, I'm gonna run like Jim in the Dirty Dozen, cause this fool might mistake me for my cousin. Police think all brothers look alike, no matter what the weight, no matter what the height. If I've been a nice ride, then they're praying that I stole it. If I ain't got crack, then they say 23 years growing up in this neighborhood, but to them I'm just a hood up to no good. I know I didn't break any laws, but a brother in the birds is probable cause. When the pussy fool ass behind bars, kid, next thing you know, you got a 5-year bid. It wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, man. You got to walk through, now you wondering why I got a funky attitude. It wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, man. You got to walk through, now you wondering why I got a funky attitude. Police have no suspects. Hey yo, that's just the same old rhetoric. If you gotta solve a crime, never ask a cop, unless the crime was committed at the donut shop. If it was, they'd be on the scene, the TJ Hooker. Dust for prints and powdered sugar, spilling coffee on the police report, searching for the keys to that other Colombian export. It wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, man. You got the wrong dude, now you wondering why I got a funky attitude. It wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, man. You got the wrong dude, now you wondering why I got a funky
the attitude.
DC police have no suspect. DC police have no suspect.